The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and a very special hello to all of our listeners currently waiting in line to get gasoline. Some of you are going to be stuck there for all 3 hours of the program, but that's okay. We're going to get you through. We're going to get you through it. We're going to keep you entertained, and hopefully you'll be able to get a tank of gas. Wow, what a mess across much of the southern states and, of course, the eastern seaboard, all the way from Delaware down to Florida and parts beyond, where gas shortages are being reported. We've got some incredible video on our website. And last night I was about to settle in for a bit of slumber. I was a little tired. I was going to go to bed early last night. And someone sent me some photographs from Gainesville, Georgia. And I'm very curious, you folks in Gainesville listening to us on WDUN, what the situation is like there at gas stations in your area. Because last night, there were lines at gas stations, people trying to fill their tanks up because they're very concerned that there might possibly be shortages. As a matter of fact, AAA just a few moments ago issued a warning saying there would be gas shortages, especially leading up to the Memorial Day weekend. And so anyway, I thought, well, geez-a-loo, I was going to get gas this morning, so I get up, get dressed, head down to the local gas station, and go ahead and fill up my tank with gasoline just to be on the safe side. And sure enough, gas prices here, and I'm very curious to know what gas prices are in your area as well. We're going to be posting a lot of information on our website. $2.99 a gallon here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's gone up, I would say, about 25 or 30 cents over the past couple of days. Some places you guys are already paying more than $3. But I don't think you should panic, but if you're on empty, you probably need to go ahead and fill up your gas tank because you just don't know how long it's going to take for these gas stations to get replenished. And as a matter of fact, across many parts of North Carolina, we're hearing reports that gas stations are running out of gas. So here's our telephone number. This is a toll-free number, by the way, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, the Biden administration has basically said, you people are pretty much on your own. This is not a national security issue. This is a private business, a private company. They've been hacked. And the hackers, even though they are foreign actors in all of this, the reality is I suspect that we're going to see that the Russians or some other nefarious group is behind this. And this is a very serious thing. Now, right now, I don't think you should be all that terribly concerned. My problem is, how do we not know about this? How is it that the CIA was not in on this, that they did not know, and they are not apparently offering any help to the colonial pipeline? And I think I know the reason why. A few days ago, we were talking about this on the radio program, that the CIA is no longer interested in going after the bad guys. They're no longer interested in stopping people before they do harm to the homeland here in the United States of America. That's not what the CIA does anymore. The CIA has gone woke. And we know that because of a video that was released just, what, last week about the kinds of people that the CIA is recruiting. Now, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. And normally we don't go to the phones this early, but this is a big deal. And this is going to impact a lot of people around the country. But I want you to understand why this is happening. And it's happening because we're not focused on hiring the best people for the job. We're interested in hiring people like cut number six.
When I was 17, I quoted Zora Neale Hurston's How It Feels to Be Colored Me in my college application essay. The line that spoke to me stated simply, I am not tragically colored. There is no sorrow dammed up in my soul nor lurking behind my eyes. I do not mind at all. At 17, I had no idea what life would bring, but Zora's sentiment articulated so beautifully how I felt as a daughter of immigrants then and now. Nothing about me was or is tragic. I am perfectly made. I can wax eloquent on complex legal issues in English while also belting Guayaquil de mis amores in Spanish. I can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other. I am a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise.
Okay, enough of that. I mean, after she just checked all the boxes there. So, I don't know, maybe the cisgender intersectional millennial chick with a generalized anxiety disorder, maybe she can figure out who hacked the freaking pipeline and go and get those people, hold them accountable, so we can go fill up our cars with gasoline. If that's not asking too much from the woke people over at CIA headquarters. But this is why bad things are happening to our country right now. We don't have the best of the best. Instead, we have somebody who, quite frankly, should probably be in a hospital being treated for the generalized anxiety disorder that she confessed to having. Or the fact that she calls herself a cisgender intersexual millennial. So let's go to the phones here. A lot of you folks wanting to weigh in on this. Let's start in Maysville, North Carolina. Keith on the talk station. Keith, what's happening? What is the situation with gasoline in your area?
Well, thank you for taking my call. And by the way, please do me a favor. Quit playing that woman. That's becoming a nightmare.
I understand, Keith, but you understand why we do it. We've got to educate folks about this.
I do indeed. Not everybody listens to you. But some people have real jobs. I'm kind of retired. But the reason that I called is I stopped and got $5 worth of gas the other day because my truck light came on. I thought, well, I'll just wait till I get to town. I go to Sam's and get it cheap. Well, now the line at Sam's is backed way up. You can't get it at the Walmart Marketplace. It's already out of gas. Half the fuel stations in town are out, and most of it is just pure panic buying. I mean, that's what it is. And I told a friend of mine, I said, I'm not going to burn gas to go to a gas station to burn more gas waiting in line just to get gas. I'll just wait until there's gas. But you know what they're going to do, Todd? If somebody's going to say, see, this is why we ought to have electric cars.
Keith, that's why the administration is not stepping in here and doing anything. They want this to happen, so you're absolutely right. So they can turn right back around and say, this is why you need to have a battery-operated car. You're right.
Hey, listen, you keep up the good work, Todd, and thank you. And I don't know whether I'm going to make it through Memphis now or not. It depends on whether there's any fuel between here in Maysville, in Arkansas.
All right. Well, hang in there, Keith. Godspeed, my friend. Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Rob, listening to us on WDUN. Rob, some friends over in Gainesville sent me pictures last night. What's the situation like in Gainesville?
Well, gas is up probably about 50 cents in a month. I could get premium for $4.09 a gallon last night, and pretty much everybody was, I mean, out of gas or about to be, or you didn't want to wait in the line, sir.
No, the lines, we were hearing reports in some places across North Carolina, people were waiting 2 to 3 hours, and then by the time they got up there, you know, they were out. And we're being told Robbinsville, North Carolina, for example, they say it could be 6 to 7 days before they get gasoline.
and I'm not getting an answer either from the guys I go to all the time. So I don't know. It's kind of scary sometimes.
Well, look, it's Rob. You know, it's just like what happened with the toilet paper in the early days of the China virus, where people ran to the grocery store. They were hoarding the toilet paper and the whatnot. And I look, if you're on empty, you need to go ahead and fill up. Or if you got a half a tank, you need to top it off, just to be on the safe side. But I think that the government is the Biden administration specifically. They've got a fight. They've got a fight here. They've got a dog in this fight. And I think they want to see people suffer. They want to see people run out of gas so they can turn around and bring in the whole Green New Deal. You watch and see how this plays out. Rob, appreciate the call. Let's go to Roger listening to us on WDUN. All right, Roger, what are gas prices looking like in your neighborhood?
Oh, man, this morning, thank you for taking the call, sir. It's nice to speak with you again. This morning, for cash, regular price near my house, the first two stations were out of all of their gas. But the two I ran across first, one was $3.25 cash for regular. The next one was $3.15, and they both had a cap. The first was $10 max. The second was $20. So now I'm down in Watkinsville, kind of toward below Athens, and it's $3.10 here in town.
Is that right?
Of course, I guess. Yeah, and I drive all over North Georgia. So, I mean, I see prices pretty much east of Gainesville all the way to the state lines and north all the way over to Blue Ridge. So a few days ago, before all this happened, above Blairsville, I saw $2.89 on a sign there about 5 miles below the North Carolina line. And I thought that was kind of crazy because it was 25, 30 cents higher than 5 miles down the road close to town. But since that happened, I haven't been that far up. I imagine it's probably pegging 50, 60 cents higher at that place. So. But that's up at least 40 cents in the past 2 days.
Now, we're being told that now the Biden administration says the Russians have nothing to do with this, but it's very clear that the hackers do, in fact, speak Russian. So, you know, so I'm not quite sure I'm ready to buy the Biden administration's explanation for what's going on here. But Biden's going out of his way to ensure us that Vladimir Putin is not responsible for this. And again, they seem to be placing most of the responsibility on Colonial Pipeline. So we'll see how this plays out. But again, I think the Biden administration, if they want us to embrace their policies, this is one way for them to get their point across. Roger, thanks for the call. Folks, we've got to take a quick break here. A couple of lines open, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. The live show blog is up and running as well over at toddstarns.com. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, you folks over in Salem, Oregon, you're like, gas crisis? What gas crisis? What's going on here? Well, it is pretty bad across, well, some 40% of the country relies on Colonial Pipeline for that gasoline. GasBuddy.com is reporting that they're running a list of the gas stations that are out of gas. And looks like Georgia, 3.3%, North Carolina, 4.8%, 2.4% in Florida, and you folks in the Commonwealth of Virginia, 7.6% of the gas stations, no gasoline. Let's go to Al in Gainesville, Georgia. Al, what's going on? I hear you guys have been out there looking for gas.
Is that me?
That's you.
That's me. Well, I'm not in Gainesville. I'm just outside of Gainesville. I'm over by a little town called Winder.
All right. So you're in Winder, Georgia. All right. Well, what's going on out there, Al?
Well, nothing. We knew things were getting a little rough here. But my wife had to go to the store just to get a couple things for groceries. She said, I got a half a tank. I'll try to top it up. And she usually goes to the Ingles. We were going to go into the little town up by Statham there. And she went up over there and went to Ingles. And all the gas pumps are shut down, got grocery bags on top of them. So I told her, I said, well, just work back up 29 back towards Statham. And I says, when you get some of them still had gas when she got up to our little one on our corner called the Market. It's just a short ways from our house. The only thing they had left was premium, and they were getting ready to bag that one up too. So she just topped up the other half of her tank. We're retired. I'm retired from the Gwinnett from the police department, and my wife is retired from the library system, and I'm a veteran, and we're retired, so we don't have to travel anywhere. So, but yeah, you said that, and I was just called you. I was surprised that she had said, "Oh, just hold on, we'll put you on with Todd." And I said, "Well, that'd be great," because I started listening to you short while back. I would listen to Kilmeade on 102.9 on a WDUN, and then you came on after him, and I said, "Hell, I like this guy almost as much as Brian." So.
Well, Al, you're kind to say that. We appreciate you. We appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling in. I'm glad you guys were able to get the car topped off there. Jeez, Lou. You know, it is interesting. Whenever something like that happens, you know, there's a gas crisis, and then you go and get gas, and then you go to the store, and all the milk and bread is gone too. It happens. I don't know what. Are we conditioned? Is that a genetic? Is that something just genetic for Americans? Whenever there's a crisis, you got to get the bread and the milk. I just don't understand. Let's go to Tim in Atlanta. Now, Tim, you've got an interesting take here. So I understand you say the gas situation is bull crap.
Oh, it is bull crap. You know, people want to listen to old donkey Joe Biden about it ain't the Russians. We all know it ain't the Russians. We already know this. It ain't no surprise. The problem is why is it that the only pipeline that goes down, if this is a cyber attack or whatever it is he calls it, only happens in the southeast? Why only on the only side of the United States does it happen in the states that's booming with the economies and stuff?
So what do you think this is all about? So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're thinking that something's not right here. It's only hitting the southern states that have reopened after the China virus, doing well economically. What are you saying here, Tim?
Oh, I say this is all Joe Biden's doing right here. His whole Democrat Party is all about the money. You ain't making no money out the West Coast or the Northeast Coast, so where do you go next? You come to the Southeast where everybody's working already and stuff. So how else do you do it?
So you think this may be payback or punishment?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course it is. You got your Trump supporters that live here in the Southeast. You got jobs that are booming, that's hiring every day. People are paying taxes every day compared to the West Coast where, you know, the Democrats are all about the money. So where else are you going to go?
All right, Tim.
Benjamin.
Yeah, all about the Benjamins. All right, Tim, appreciate the call. Well, Tim thinks this is all intentional, that maybe Biden is punishing the southern states for reopening. Well, I don't know. We'll see. 8.1 million people. That's how many jobs are available. We have 8.1 million jobs available in the United States right now. Nobody wants a job. People are content with staying at home. We're going to be talking about this coming up, and we'll also be paying attention again to this gas situation. This could get ugly, and I suspect that a lot of this, people are just concerned. They want to make sure they've got a full tank of gas in the event that, you know, the shipments don't come. But even bigger than that is the economy, which is teetering right now, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, I was talking to a friend just a few days ago. They went to three different restaurants in Memphis. All three were closed, and there was a sign on the door of every single restaurant saying they could not find people to work. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. ToddStarnes.com is the website. We'll be right back, America. That bumper music gets me every time. I think it's going to be Dolly Parton's Jolene, just the first couple of bars, but it's not Jolene. Go figure. Great song anyway. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. Just got a text message from one of our listeners out in Asheville, North Carolina, my dear friend Michelle Cox. And by the way, Michelle and I have a brand new book coming out together called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. It's a fun Southern-themed devotion book, and you can already pre-order wherever you get your books. Anyway, Michelle lives in Asheville, and she said there are long lines at just about every gas station in town. A soldier from Camp Lejeune just sent me a photograph showing what looked to be about 40 or 50 cars in line waiting to get gas there at Camp Lejeune. So it's a mess out there. All right, let's get to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Lisa, listening to us on WLVA in the beautiful Commonwealth of Virginia. Hey, Lisa, what's going on?
Just fine. I want to remind everybody that the Biden family has been paid off by China and Russia. So Hunter could be working with these Russians and causing all this to happen to us so that his father can get the agenda that he wants. Another thing, I am getting so many people wanting me to give to them. So many 501c3s, churches, and also I think about the entertainment people. They're going to be hurt by this. These people have got to decide that this is self-preservation to get out and vote for the right people and to have discernment. And they just, so many people that I know just seem so oblivious. Like, this is just political, and I can't have any effect, and particularly the churches. It's really awful. And this is where they're being attacked. I can't understand how you can avoid where somebody is attacking you and keep looking at another place and think if they keep looking at this other place, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay.
Lisa,
and I have so many people that I...
Lisa, let me tell you something.
Ahead.
You know who I blame for all of this? I don't blame the Bidens. Joe Biden said he was going to do what he was going to do. I mean, we all knew that he was going to govern from the far left. We all know that AOC controls the Democrat Party. The progressives are in charge of the agenda for the Democrat Party. Here's who I blame. It's the Never Trump Republicans. They're the ones that put us in this situation right now. They're the ones who refuse to stand up for Donald Trump. And as a result, we've got chaos in America. So for me, it's a very simple thing. And it's just black and white for me, Lisa. If the Never Trump Republicans had gotten on board the campaign and had supported this president and just turned a blind eye to the tweets and the Facebook messages and all that stuff, we would be in a heck of a lot better place in America than we are right now.
Kevin McCarthy is just continuing all this stuff.
He's got
to
go.
He wants to put up.
Yeah, he's got to go.
He
Kevin
does.
Kevin McCarthy has to go. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
He's just a pretty boy. That's all. He has no substance. And I have said this for a long time. Our congressperson, Bob Goodlatte, who was in there before the man that's in there now, he brought him to Lynchburg. I have met this man. He is just a pretty boy. We don't need pretty boys. We need people with substance like Trump.
I want you to think about this for a second, Lisa. Think about this for a moment.
Okay.
You have Kevin McCarthy, who is the leader of the House Republicans, and he cannot control the number three in his command. He cannot do anything about her. As a matter of fact, they had the opportunity, and she did not only survive the vote, she won overwhelmingly. And then the guy turns around. First, he's against Trump. He blames Trump for what happened at the Capitol. Then he turns around and he's embracing Trump. The guy is wishy-washy. He is not a leader. He has no moral compass when it comes to politics. And he's got to go. And we're going to talk more about Kevin McCarthy a little bit later.
Well, men are afraid of women now. That's what it is.
Well, and that is a fair point. I mean, the Republicans, and Lisa, just understand this. The Republicans are playing identity politics with their leadership. They would rather have a woman in that position than a conservative, which is why they're going to pick Elise Stefanik.
And isn't she an African-American, too?
No, she's a Caucasian, of the Caucasian persuasion.
I haven't seen her. I don't have a TV.
She's Lily White. Yes. from New York State. Lisa, we got to leave it there. Lisa, great, great commentary and analysis of what's happening in the country right now. I've got a lot to say about Stefanik and Cheney and McCarthy coming up a little bit later on today, folks. But I do want to get to as many of your calls as we can. Let's go to Lafayette, Georgia. Dino listening to us on NougaRadio.com. Did I get the name of that town right, Dino?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's not Lafayette. It was Lafayette View in the East. Hey, great show, as usual. You know, I just went up to Dollar General to get some milk and a loaf of bread. And when I drove by that NAFCO, that's what they got down here in North Georgia. Anyhow, they had no gas. So I went across the street. Tons of people. Everyone's freaking out. Now, I'm a lifelong union plumber pipe fitter. And for the past 30 years, I've worked oil refineries. Okay? And it's like diesel. It's the most expensive. Okay, you have a thing called a catalyst converter. That's how they make all the different types, you know, toluene, methane, all the good stuff. Diesel's the first thing that comes up. So diesel in an oil refinery is the cheapest product they make. Why is it so expensive? Government. All right? As you were saying earlier, you know, why didn't we catch on to this? What we have to do is get you and Sean, because only smart people, I hate to say it like this, but only people that are smart listen to your show. Whereas the average Joe Blow, they're working, you know, their eight-hour job, and they don't. We have to get the word out. We have to take our country back, and the only way we're going to do it is for us to do it with people like you and Sean leading the way. What do you think?
Well, look, Dino, I appreciate the kind words, and I will brag on our audience. And just based on the great calls we get, I think we have a very intelligent audience. Probably the intellect is one of the highest in all of talk radio. So I have no doubt about that. But I think in talk radio, this is the only place we're able to address these kinds of issues. And there's something much broader going on here. This hack did just not randomly happen. There's a reason for all of this. And clearly, the Democrats want to shove us down the path of this new Green Deal or the Green New Deal. And this is one way to do that. So we'll see how all this plays out. But, Dino, it's a good thought. Thank you for calling, and thanks for listening to us on Nuga Radio. We also, Grace, and I just, you know, we can't say this enough. We like to lavish, and maybe we shouldn't be doing this, but we do like to lavish praise upon our audience.
That is my number one, like, on the love language list, words of affirmation. I think that a compliment can make someone's day.
So. Is that right? Because in addition to having one of the smartest, I think we have the most attractive audience.
I believe that, too.
The ladies that follow us.
I haven't gotten to meet them, but, you know.
Well,
soon.
You will on the book signing.
Exactly.
And it's just jaw-dropping. I mean, they're just gorgeous, you know. I mean, compared to the liberals, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't want to say anything. You know, I don't want to speak dismissively or derisively, but conservative women, in my estimation, conservative women are much more attractive.
I did see there was like a study done a couple years ago and that the consensus was conservative women were more attractive, generally speaking.
I remember that survey.
Yeah, when people just took two women and said, which one's more attractive? And every time they pointed them out, it was a conservative.
And I agree with that survey. So there you go. Thank you, Grace. All right, let's go to Steve, Central Arkansas, on the great KARN. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. If they can hack this pipeline and manipulate and control the gas speed to 40% of the country, that also means they can hack and manipulate the electrical grid system and maybe the financial system and money transfers and everything. One other thing they might be able to hack and manipulate is the voting machines.
No, Steve. As we all know, it is impossible. To hack a voting machine. Just impossible.
I did forget that they told us that wasn't possible.
What they told us.
Well, I must be wrong, man.
But, Steve, this is a grave concern because you are right. If they can hack the gas supply, they can hack our electrical systems, and they could do it. And who's to say they haven't already been doing that? I mean, with these massive brownouts and blackouts around the country.
Yeah, it makes you think. One other quick comment. I agree with you. It is a shame that people can't see how pretty I am.
Steve,
Steve, you're a handsome man. We'll leave it at that. Steve, good talking to you. Oh my goodness. We have just great listeners. You guys make this show a lot of fun, and I hope that and all of our new listeners, some of you may be wondering what in the world is going on my radio right now. We're having fun, folks. This is what it's all about. We're having a national conversation, and that's what we do here on this radio program. So, by the way, I was telling you before we went to break that a buddy of mine was going around. They went to three different restaurants in the Memphis area. Every single one had a big sign on the door that said, we're closed. We do not have enough employees to serve you. I'm curious if this is happening in other parts of the country or if this is something unique to the Memphis area. But there's a report out on FoxNews.com, 8.1 million jobs available right now in America. But what's been happening? Well, the government has been conditioning people for decades, for generations, not to work. They have sucked the momentum, they've sucked the life out of Americans. And they've gotten them conditioned to nurse off of the government teat, if you will. And now we have generations of Americans growing up in public housing, generations of Americans living off food stamps, generations of Americans that look for a handout, not a hand up. This is not a good thing. This is a very dangerous thing for America. 8.1 million jobs. 8.1 million jobs available. But the White House says, and Jen Psaki was talking about this yesterday, she says, no, it's about the quality of the job. You know, back when I was growing up, if you got a job, you got a job. And if it didn't pay the bills, you know what you did? You went out and you got another job. And then you put all that money together and you can pay your bills. And you work your butt off until you can start moving up the ladder and improving your lot in life to wherever you want to be. That's the American way. Well, I want to go to the live stream. Eric, listening to us in the great state of Connecticut, and wants to weigh in on the unemployment situation. Hey, Eric, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, thank you for taking my call.
Glad to do it.
Todd, I've got to tell you about a person I know, and it's really a sad story, but I'll avoid making it too sad, I promise. Basically, this person, they were extremely popular. This person was extremely popular. They had everything going for them in their career. And they basically, you know, they threw it all away, and now they're living a pathetic existence without anything good going on. And his name is Todd Starnes.
Now, Eric, this is interesting. So what makes you say that, Eric?
Because you drink pee, too, don't you, Todd?
I do, Eric. Now, you're one of these crank callers, Eric, aren't you? I mean, you talk about having a pathetic life. I mean, Eric, you've been on hold for, gosh, almost a full hour waiting to try to prank us. Is that what you were trying to do, Eric? Is that what you do in your free time, your spare time?
Are you drinking more pee, Todd?
Oh, you see, this is really sad. What a sad little man you are, Eric. You know, we're gonna say goodbye to Eric here. He's one of these Media Matters lowlifes. And if you don't know about Media Matters, this is a left-wing organization. They hate Fox News, and they want to destroy Fox News, and they hate me because I'm a conservative, and I stand up for conservative values. And every now and again, they have their workers or their minions actually call in and try to prank us. And this was clearly one of these guys, and it's pretty pathetic. Can you imagine just... I mean, here you are. The guy ought to be working, but he may not. You know, he may be one of these guys that wants to live off the government teat. So anyway, we just made this guy's week because he got on the air and he got to make a fool of himself. So Eric from Connecticut, yet another reason why I don't enjoy going north of the Mason-Dixon line. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Veronica writes in on the Facebook live stream, Todd, I remember in the 70s buying gas on even and odd days, depending on your license plate number. Do you guys remember that? Jory says, in many ways, I'm a child of the 70s. I remember the gas lines. Wow, I do too. We had a huge Oldsmobile. That was the family car. And we'd be sitting in those lines. Jory says, I always keep my gas tank full, especially since Obama. Electric cars? Of course, that's what they want, but I don't think we have enough power strips long enough. Jory, it's a great point. Let's go to Jim listening to us from the great state of Maine, WLOB. That's Ray Richardson country. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, I just called up because that last fellow you talked to was kind of rude to you about drinking tea.
Yeah, well, he wasn't saying tea, Jim. It was something else.
I'd like to go down there sometime and try some of that sweet tea. I hear it's awful good.
Jim, I can guarantee you this. I will take you down to Corky's Barbecue, and the iced tea there, first of all, it'll pucker your lips up real quick. But after the initial shock of drinking the sweet tea, Jim, I can guarantee you, sir, from the great state of Maine, will be speaking with a southern accent.
I surely don't have one right now.
You've got a great accent. I love that Maine accent. That's character right there.
Now, I've got a theory on these electric cars.
Yeah, what's your theory?
You remember years ago when you had your bicycle and it had the little headlight on the front of it and it ran fire?
Oh, I remember that,
yeah. Kind of a perpetual motion type thing?
I remember that.
Why can't they do that with an electric car? Charge the battery up as you go down the road.
You know what's going to happen, Jim? We're all going to be like Fred Flintstone. That's what's going to happen. That's what the Democrats want.
Yeah, but then our shoe prices are going to go out of the roof.
that's
you gotta
a fair
stop
point.
Sometime.
that's a good point, Jim. Oh, my goodness. Well, Jim, God bless you. God bless you up there. We got to run for the news break, but thanks for coming to our defense. Grace, the guy said that he wanted to talk about unemployment numbers, right?
Yes, that's what I thought he wanted to talk about.
So he lied to you.
Oh, yeah.
So this creep lied to you, Grace Baker.
Oh, yeah.
One of the nicest people on the planet most of the time.
I like to think. Mm-hmm. Except at maybe 5 a.m. in the morning when I haven't had my coffee yet.
What a sleazo. These people are disgusting.
Here's my thing. Like, you're going to come on here and we let you on. And I'm sorry. Like, if I were going to do something like that, I'd have something really good prepared. Meanwhile, he's like, you drinking sweet tea? Like, ooh,
oh,
we wow.
We knew where he was going. Oh, you drink pee. That's what he would say. You drink pee.
Oh, pfft.
Oh, for crying out loud.
He said tea. I was like, that's dumb. And that's just as dumb.
What a loser.
That's dumb.
All right, folks, got to take a break here. Hey, Sebastian Gorka coming up next. Also, our good friend Jeffrey Lord. Plus your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Todd Starnes. And again, a special greeting to all of you currently waiting in a gas line across the country. We would love to hear from you if you are currently in your car waiting to get gasoline. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, we were talking about jobs right before the break there. Ellen writes in from Cleveland, Ohio. Todd, my sister lives in Cleveland. And she says restaurants are closing down there because they can't find help. I'm not surprised. We are hearing these kinds of stories all over the place. Ellen writes in from Pennsylvania. We live in the Poconos. And the local diner restaurant is closed because they can't find help. So it's a tough situation out there. And again, the reason why is the left, they do not want you to have a job. They want you to rely on the government for your handout. But before we go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, I've got to share this note with you from Sherry, Wichita, Kansas. Todd, Lord love a duck. We need to put the ugly smack down of the left-wing wackos. What a great time to be alive. We have a golden opportunity to step into the arena for God and live our faith. Onward, Christian warriors. I like you, Sherry. That's the spirit. We can't let them get us down in the dumps. We've got to stand tall, and we have to understand that we still live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And with that, I do want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, one of the greatest voices, the most manly of voices in all of talk radio, the one, the only, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Dr. Gorka, how's it going?
Greetings, Todd. Great to be back.
You know, Dr. Gorka, I have to brag on you. Immediately after my program in Memphis, Tennessee, on our flagship station, we carry your national show, and it is one of the most popular programs we carry on KWAM.
Well, I would hope so.
Well, everywhere I was in the
bragging, that's a statement of empirical fact, isn't it?
I was in the Kroger the other night, and I'm trying to go grocery shopping, and somebody comes up and says, "Can you get Dr. Gorka to come to Memphis?" And I said, "Well, I think we can make that happen. We're going to have to make it happen."
I don't think I've ever been, so I think we have to make it happen.
We'll get you a Kevlar vest,
I've already got one. That's fine. I'll bring my own.
Very good. Well, Dr. Gorka, you just have a terrific show, and the topics that you talk about really resonate with the people. And you know, one of the big stories today is, of course, this hack of the Colonial Pipeline. Gas stations, long lines. It sort of reminds us of the 1970s during Jimmy Carter's administration.
Yeah, for those who are old enough to recall, I think for most millennials, they can't even imagine. I mean, when we complain because the Wi-Fi service is a little slow, the idea that alternating tag licenses would mean which day of the week you could actually go and buy gas for your car. But back then, it was really incompetence. It was OPEC. This time, I agree with Newt Gingrich, one of the smartest political minds we have in America. You do not close down a pipeline that provides 45% of the oil to the eastern part of the United States as a private hacking enterprise. That Russian enterprise was sanctioned by the Kremlin. That is without a doubt. You don't get to do that to America without the say-so, without the acquiescence of Vladimir Putin. And as such, this is an act of war. And what is the response of the Biden administration? It is stunning. I'm going to use the video and the audio on my show today. When the chief for cybersecurity in a sleepy, creepy Biden's administration says, well, this is a private company, so we'll let them fix it. And what if they can't fix it? And next time, it's not 45%, it's a 100% of our diesel and oil supplies.
I mean, I was just shocked to hear them say that yesterday. The reality is that this is going to cause big problems unless it gets resolved very quickly. I mean, we're already hearing reports of many gas stations already out. And people are getting a little concerned, as well they should.
No, I mean, think about it. Who was it? There was some senator from Illinois who grew up in Hawaii who said elections have consequences. I said months ago that every incoming administration is challenged. They have a crisis. For JFK, it was Cuba. For us, when we came into the White House, it was ISIS. And you have to stand up. You have to be forthright. And you have to be prepared to use force if necessary, whether it's a naval blockade of Cuba or whether it was President Trump unleashing special operations and special forces to crush the caliphate of ISIS within 5 months of us coming into office. Here we have what? We have the Biden administration that has unleashed the cartels, 6,000 illegal aliens every single day crossing our borders. We've got a resurgent China. We've got Russia that is getting ready to reinvade Ukraine. And now we've got our oil supply literally under attack by quote-unquote non-state actors in Russia. This is in less than 4 months, Todd. Can we just be clear about the reality? Whilst the mainstream media, the lying legacy media, says, oh, Biden's got a 62% approval rating, the world is on fire, and we're less than half a year into this administration.
No, you're absolutely right. And not to mention what's happening over the past couple of days in Israel,
yes.
our greatest ally under attack. And it's as if this administration is turning a blind eye to that, too.
Well, not turning a blind eye. They've opened the spigot again. They said that the Palestinian Authority is going to get funding from the American government again. And we know it's just a matter of time before Biden reinstitutes the disastrous JCPOA Iran deal that unleashed $140 billion for the murderous mullahs in Iran, the nation that today still is registered by the State Department as the lead state sponsor of terrorism, and this administration wants to give them more money. If you, Todd, or I gave $50 to a terrorist organization, we would have committed the federal crime of material support to terrorism. This administration wants to give billions.
You know, Dr. Gorka, we sort of sit back and look long game. You know, where is all of this going? And we have so many crises that we're dealing with right now. And not to mention, and you were tweeting about this earlier, about the jobs. I mean, the idea that you've got 8.1 million jobs available, but this government is conditioning people to not want to work. They want that government handout. How dangerous is that for this country?
It's look, America was built not just on rugged individualism, the pioneer spirit, but on the go-getter. And if you're a couple that is getting $600 a week to sit at home and do nothing or maybe do a job for cash so you can double dip, that is the antithesis of what – I decided to go and check out the border. I said, I'm going to buy a camera. I'm going to go and look. I'm going to find the evidence. We uncovered all of it. We met with Sheriff Lamb. We showed the exclusive footage on my Newsmax show, the Gorka Reality Check, on Sunday. And let me just tell you one story. I get to Phoenix, and we go to the car rental center. And I hate Hertz, but Hertz is the only place that has cars there. I've never done this in my – I've rented a lot of cars, and I've flown on a lot of planes. Todd, I waited for an hour and 15 minutes to pick up a car at a Hertz rental facility that had 14 windows for people who are agents, right? Only three of them were manned. And at the end, the guy who was serving us, was a nice guy, said, so what the heck is going on? And he said, nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to work? Have they already created Venezuela? That is Biden.
You're right. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, sebgorka.com is his website. And if you don't have his amazing book, The War for America's Soul, you got to get yourself a copy. We have a link to that in our live show blog. Dr. Gorka, what's coming up on the program this afternoon?
I'm going to open with that. We got some amazing guests lined up, but you know, I'm going to put on my old national security hat, and I'm just going to analyze what this is just a taste, guys. If you don't have, you know, 3 months supply of food, if you haven't bulked up on ammunition, then you know, it more fool you. What we are seeing happen now in more than 12 states across this nation that are now at the mercy of Russian hackers, this is just the beginning. So I'm going to put on my old hat as Deputy Assistant President for Strategy, and I'm going to give you Dr. G's analysis of what this portends for the future. And everybody, it's up to you. That's the American way. Don't rely on the U.S. government, whether it's your personal security or whether it's national security. This administration is going to make things much, much worse before they get better.
Well said. Well said. Dr. Gorka, as always, we appreciate you coming on the program and look forward to getting you down to Memphis one of these days.
I look forward to it. God bless you and the listeners, Todd.
All right. Sebastian Gorka, ladies and gentlemen, a good man. And you got to read his books. I do. They're in my library, sebgorka.com. Bookmark his website as well. And, you know, Dr. Gorka raises a really valid point here. is that you need to take personal responsibility. We need to take personal responsibility for our own well-being. And that means making sure that you have a food supply, making sure you have the essentials you need, making sure that you have cash on hand and you have easy access to all of that. And, of course, making sure that you have whatever tools you need to protect yourself and your family. And that means you need to get down to your local gun store. You need to stock up on ammo, because he's right. You just think about this. We're 4 months into the Biden presidency, and we are already facing calamity. And this is far from over. And the idea that the Biden administration is treating this Colonial Pipeline like it's some sort of a private matter, as if, I don't know, the drive-through window at McDonald's doesn't work, that ought to put the fear of God into all of us. So, look, we're going to take a break here, and I am curious to hear from some of you who have taken those precautions. Maybe you are preparing, stocking up on provisions. What did you do? What are you stocking up on? And, you know, advice that you can give our fellow listeners on how to prepare for having to take care of yourself for a couple of days. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, heading down to Dallas, Texas in just a little while. Our good friend Chris Kroc, a great radio host, is going to join us. Crazy story involving Antifa, and we'll tell you all about that a little bit later on. I do want to get to the phones, though. A lot of you folks wanting to weigh in today. Let's go to Gallatin, Tennessee, right near Nash, Vegas. Lisa on the line. Hi, Lisa. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I just have a comment. You're talking about the pipeline being hacked. I have a sister that's retired from a company, I can't mention the name, outside of D.C. She retired, but she worked part-time. They informed her Friday that they had been hacked. And it's not a small company. They were working on the Pentagon at 9/11. That's why more people weren't killed. Now, we are imploding. If Americans don't realize it, they're just dumb. There's three quotes people need to know. Joseph Stalin, voters decide nothing, vote counters decide everything. Joseph Stalin, if the opposition disarms, well and good. If it refuses to disarm, we shall disarm itself. The thing that Khrushchev said, I'm old enough to remember learning this in school. Khrushchev, these are Russians, we do not have to invade the United States. We will destroy them from within. God help us all.
Well, Lisa, these quotes are chilling, because we are seeing them play out in real life, in real time here. And I keep going back.
Exactly.
You know, Lisa, the problem here is the school system. It's the nation's public school system. This is the engine driving this change in our country. And if we do not get a handle on what's happening in those classrooms, we will lose the country. I mean, it's that simple. We know how to fix it. The question is, are we going to fix it?
Well, and Khrushchev also said one of the major principles is that Soviet literature must be inseparably, I can't pronounce that, linked with the policy of the Communist Party. So they knew they had to get into the schools. It does start there. It's very chilling. We are going communist.
Oh, I think we're already there, Lisa, and that's the danger zone. We're in the danger zone right now. I mean, we've got two generations of American kids that have been taught to hate this country, and by and large, most moms and dads have checked out. You know, they're not paying attention to what their kids are learning, and that's a problem.
Well, the scariest thing I read that Khrushchev said is, quote, the United States will eventually fly the communist red flag. The American people will hoist it themselves. This is happening now. People need to go back and look at what other communist leaders, especially of Russia. Oh, and by the way, this company that was hacked, they believe at first glance, they believe it came from Russia or Eastern Europe.
We all know where we all know it came from Russia. Everybody except for Joe Biden, and he refuses to acknowledge this. So, Lisa, thank you for the call and good information there. I want to go to Texas. Victoria tells me that her family has been prepping. All right, Victoria, what are you guys doing to prep?
Yes, we originally were living in a small town west of San Antonio, Texas. But just in the last 3 months, we actually bought a house on some acreage out in Caldwell, Texas. So we moved out, sold our other house. I've been very fortunate, extremely blessed. I get to work from home. My husband, actually, during the last call, you talked about, the public school system. He's a former public school teacher who left it because of what was going on in the public schools. And he has now become a homeschool teacher to our three little boys. We moved out to the 12-acre property. We now have a garden. We have a stocked food supply. We're trying to live our lives, but it's kind of hard when you see everything that's happening. You know, we've had to just do our best to take care of our family and prepare. Because 8-9 years ago, an elderly aunt of ours told us this is coming. And I thought she was crazy. But little did I realize that I would see it all right in front of my face couple years later.
Well, Victoria, it sounds like you guys are doing the right thing. And again, it's not hyperbole. You're not doing what they do on the TV shows. You're being very prudent and you're taking steps to prepare your family in the event something should happen. And look, if they can hack a pipeline, like a previous caller said, they can hack the electrical grid and who knows what could happen. But Victoria, you and your family are prepared. And that's the key. Folks, got to take a break. Victoria, thank you for that call. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. This report from Campus Reform, three students at the University of Massachusetts Amherst suspended. And why were they suspended? What did they do? Well, it turns out the collegiate urchins were caught on film doing something. The administration obtained a scandalous, scurrilous photograph. Grace Baker, do you want to take a wild gander at what these college students were doing in this photograph?
Oh, in a photograph?
Yes, they got in trouble. They got suspended.
Maybe underage drinking?
No, good guess. They were not drinking.
Taking a selfie?
No, they were not taking a selfie. Could it have been? I don't think you can get suspended for taking a selfie. Were they engaged in, Sodom and Gomorrah-like behavior?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't it.
Well, then what could they have done?
They were caught being photographed outside without a face diaper on.
What? Mm-hmm. Outside?
CBS Boston reports, Grace, three freshman girls sent home, ordered to leap, depart our university. You horrible girls. They were sent home to learn virtually for the rest of the spring semester, so they're out of
there.
Man,
you girls with your smiles that you're showing.
How dare you? We know what you're doing with that flirtatious smile.
Don't look, boys.
You biological woman, you.
With your lipstick and your mascara.
And your makeup. The war paint.
The war paint.
The students were later cut off from virtual learning and were not able to take their finals.
Why?
It's horrible.
They're at home.
Yeah, but they were caught outside not wearing a face mask.
Jeez Louise.
One of them was a high school valedictorian. They're all freshmen.
Oh, my gosh.
Was a high school valedictorian, class president of her high school. And now, Now she's going to be a bum. She's going to have to live on the street. She won't be able to get a college education.
Dang.
CBS Boston cited video showing the UMass Amherst hockey team celebrating their national championship victory. In the footage, students and hockey team members are shown without masks and in close proximity.
Perish the thought.
It gets worse. Apparently, according to CBS Boston, some of the students, there was bodily contact involved. Yeah, not that guy. Not the fornication
guy. No.
They exchanged high fives. The palms of their hands touched.
Well, at least they didn't hug.
And so now the families are saying, well, wait a second. I mean, if you're going to be able to let the hockey fans get out there and hug each other and cavort.
Sure.
And caress the palms of strangers.
Sure.
Why can our girls not take a picture without wearing the face burkas? It's a great question. But again, it shows you the double standard.
The real issues of the day.
And by the way, and now Fauci's coming under fire. You know, Tucker Carlson last night called out Fauci, says there needs to be a criminal investigation. This guy, ladies and gentlemen, is the highest paid employee in all of the federal government. Mm-hmm. This guy is making more money than the president of the United States of America. So earlier today, up on Capitol Hill, Senator Rand Paul had a come to Jesus meeting with Dr. Fauci. Let's take a listen.
Think about that for a moment. The SARS virus had a 15% mortality. We're fighting a pandemic that has about a 1% mortality. Can you imagine if a SARS virus that's been juiced up and had viral proteins added to it, to the spike protein, if that were released accidentally? Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund.
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina, not in China.
You don't think inserting a bat virus spike protein that he got from the Wuhan Institute into the SARS virus is gain-of-function?
That is not.
You would be in the minority because at least 200 scientists have signed a statement from the Cambridge Working Group saying that it is gain-of-function.
Well, it is not. And if you look at the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain-of-function, despite the fact that people tweet that.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology Institute.
Do you support sending money? We did, under your tutelage. We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agency and a sub-grant. Do you support that the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
Let me explain to you why that was done. The SARS-CoV-1 originated in bats in China. It would have been irresponsible of us if we did not investigate the bat viruses and the serology to see who might have been infected.
Or perhaps it would be
in China.
So it goes on and on and on. I'm telling you, none of this has ever added up for me. And I believe at the end of the day, we're going to find out that not only, which by the way, we did fund, there's no doubt about this. American tax dollars funded the Wuhan lab. We know that to be a fact. And we also know that whatever happened inside that lab was meant to target the United States. And how do we know that? Because when all of this happened, it happened as President Trump was cracking down on trade with the Chinese. And you can't tell me this was just coincidental. So I think that this was a direct attack on the United States of America by a biological weapon. That's what I think happened here. But beyond all of that, I still don't believe that the virus numbers are accurate, especially when you go back and you look at the average numbers of people who come down with the seasonal flu, who come down with pneumonia, who come down with all these other illnesses, people who get hit by buses. All of a sudden, nobody's getting killed by a bus anymore. Nobody's getting killed by the flu. Nobody's dying from pneumonia. Everybody is dying of the China virus. And that's why I think the numbers are greatly exaggerated. And I can say that because we have interviewed a number of medical workers, doctors, medical examiners on this program who have testified to that fact. So what's really going on here? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that, again, this is part of the effort to condition this country to embrace socialism? If nothing else, the government knows, our government leaders know, that the vast majority of our fellow countrymen are more than willing to surrender their civil liberties. They're willing to give up their constitutional rights. All in the name of public safety. We now know that to be true. So really the government, if I'm a member of the government, if I'm in the swamp, if I'm a member of the deep state, I'm feeling pretty good right now because you know what I've learned? I've learned that the American people are lemmings. They're sheep. They will not stand up for themselves. By and large, that's what we have learned here, folks. And if you don't believe me, just next time you go into, I don't know, the Kroger, next time you're stuck in traffic on the interstate, or by the way, you people right now waiting to get gas stuck in that long line, just take a look at the car next to you or the guy behind you and see if they're wearing a face burqa in the privacy of their car. That's what I'm talking about here. All right, you know what? Let's go. We've got time for a couple of phone calls before we have to go to a break. Let's go to Susan in Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Susan. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. My husband and I are both retired, and we had to go to the VA in Hot Springs, which is about an hour away. And when we come home from, and we did our shopping, because once a month we do shopping. Lately, we've been going every 2 weeks and buying anything we think we are going to need. And we fill up just on the way home. And Mount Ida is a town of 1,000 people. We purposely moved to our town, which has 300 people in it, which is about 10 miles from Mount Ida. And he was out of gas. He gets gas every Monday. And he says, I've been out for 3 days. And it's just ridiculous. This is the first time, and we've been here 12 years, and this has happened. And it's just, we're not even in that, you know, from Atlanta to New York, in that section. So I don't get it. And also, we've been preppers for about 17 years. We started watching when Glenn Beck was on Fox. That's when we started, and we moved, got the hell out of Dodge in California, moved where we into a small town, and so we've been prepping, and we even bought a hand pump for the well.
I mean, is that right?
And oh yeah, anything. I mean, my husband's having a gasifier built. It's like a generator, but you feed wood into it, so it'll back up into our generator. So if the grid goes out, we have that.
Now, Susan, what kind of supplies do you guys have there in the house?
Everything. Anything that you normally use, shampoo, soap, dishwashing detergent. You don't want to just have rice, just eat rice and beans. You need to have spices. So I've gone to the dollar store and bought I don't know how many things of different spices. Powdered milk, anything you would normally have. Canned, I have canned. I hate canning. I'm a California girl. But I learned how to do it. So we have a huge garden every summer, and we can and dehydrate everything.
Because, you know, Susan, back in the day, and when I say back in the day, it's not that long ago, just about everybody had a garden. People were canning.
Yeah.
You know, they had stuff there. But nowadays, I don't think most people even.
They don't.
They wouldn't know what to do.
This is South, and I'm looking at women that are. I'm 64. I'm looking at 70 and 80 year old women that they're not canning. So that's where I picked up all my jars was at, you know, flea markets and stuff and yard sales because, you know, it saves. And now you can't even find the lids for the canning jars. It drives you crazy.
Oh, you got to get those old mason jars. Got to get them.
Yeah, but it's just people think of anything you need. We bought socks and underwear and clothing that we extra, undergarment type things, long johns and stuff, because it's going to get colder. It already is. You can tell it's getting colder. It's not global warming. It's going to be an ice age, and it's crazy. Anything that you think you're going to need, and we're not going to have, our money's not going to be worth anything. So we put our investment into food, 25-year life food, and then, of course, canning food and dog food and cat food and you name it, rabbit food, chicken food, everything.
There you go. Oh, Susan, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to skedaddle here. But good for you. Susan is and her husband are prepared, you know, and it's you don't have to go overboard, but it's important to be prepared in case things go south. All right, 844-747-8868. Coming up a little bit later in the next hour, our good friend Jeffrey Lord's going to drop by. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Just want to offer this as a public service announcement for whatever it's worth. This is coming from the nation of India. Doctors there say that, I know some of you are desperate to... No, this is not a made-up story either. But doctors in India are warning people against using cow dung as a cure for the COVID-19 virus. So the running theory over in India is that if you smear your body with cow dung and urine, it will boost your immunity against the China virus. And it will also keep you from getting a date. I just want to throw that out there. But the doctors say it is not true. And Grace, I have to tell you, one of the more disturbing images
time.
And now they're very upset because they're getting a lot of backlash. So people are making fun of the Starbucks baristas.
Oh, no.
And so now...
Because they can't spell people's names?
Well, and again, I mean, that
I'm
to
serious.
Me... Yeah, no, I am too.
I have friends that they cannot spell their names. I feel so bad for them. I'm like, my name's simple. Grace.
And mine, well, I don't go to Starbucks anymore.
Yeah.
Only because, seriously, I want to explain why. I'm not a pleasant person to deal with in the mornings. I have to have at least one cup of coffee.
That's why I have it ready when you get here.
Before, seriously, you know, otherwise it's not
tough.
Good. It's not good. And I acknowledge that. I've got a problem.
We leave him alone until he's had his first cup.
So if you remember a couple of years ago, Starbucks announced, you know what, we're going to start a conversational race relation. So we just want to randomly, while you're waiting in line for your coffee, you know, we're going to start a convo about race relations. And I was afraid, Grace, that I was going to be, because Bill Hemmer over at Fox News, Bill Hemmer and I would normally end up at the Starbucks in line together.
Oh.
At the crack of dawn.
Nice.
And I was afraid somebody might strike up a convo. And I would just, you know,
they wouldn't
go
like
off
what
on
you
it.
Had to say.
Yeah, I would just go off.
Especially
on
before
it.
Your coffee. Ooh.
And, you know, with YouTube, you'll go viral. And, ooh, you know, you don't want, nobody wants that.
No.
So I thought, yeah, that's it. That and I don't like to pay $5 for a burnt cup of coffee.
To each their own.
It is what it is. So apparently the folks over at Facebook, their feelings are hurt because you guys are writing terrible things about them on Facebook.
Welcome, yeah.
Welcome to
the,
my world,
yeah, welcome
Starbucks.
To the real world.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
All right. Got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Starnes. Oh,
yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show, and good to have you with us. By the way, for those of you who believe in a higher power, for those of you who believe in prayer and supplication, I would encourage you to put Michelle Obama on your prayer list. Mrs. Obama living in a very fearful life and existence in America, where she can only reside in two multimillion-dollar mansions while having a $140 million book and TV deal. And she's suffering. She is she's feeling oppressed, and she is not feeling loved. So put her on the prayer list, if you will. Hey, before we go to Jeffrey Lord, I want to go to Benjamin in Texas real quick. In the last hour, we mentioned that the Indians are encouraging people to stop smearing their bodies in cow dung because that is not a way to prevent from the China virus. Benjamin from Texas says otherwise. Benjamin, explain yourself.
Well, when you rub your hands in the cow mist, it keeps you from touching your face, so you don't rub your hands in your eyes or your nose or anything like that. And it also, from the smell, it keeps everybody a well, good 6 feet away from you. Or more.
Oh, well, I've never really thought of it like that, but maybe. So you're saying that the cow dung, if you have cow dung on your hands, you're not going to touch your face, which would prevent you from catching the China virus. And you're saying social distancing would almost be mandatory in that kind of a situation.
I would say so. We got cows, and I certainly wouldn't touch my face after we're done messing with them.
Well, there you go. Benjamin, great words of wisdom from the farm down in Texas. Thank you. And, well, maybe the Indians are on to something after all. All right. That being said, let's go to the proprietor of thejeffreylord.com, Jeffrey Lord. How's it going?
I think we should make Benjamin U.S. ambassador to India.
It kind of made sense after he explained it. It's
yes, he did.
You never know what you're going to learn here on this program. Well, Jeffrey, many of our listeners are right now stuck in long gas lines, and they're hoping to be able to fill up their tanks. And many people are recalling not so fondly the 1970s during the Carter years.
Yes, indeed. You know, for those of us old enough to remember the Carter years, it is no accident that the president I worked for was named Ronald Reagan, who defeated Jimmy Carter in a 44-state landslide in 1980. And that's because the Carter economic and energy policies, among other things, pumping up inflation and the misery index and all of that, unemployment, et cetera. But when it came to energy, man, I remember if you went anywhere, you had to wait sometimes as much as an hour just to get gas in your tank here. There were these huge lines. And if you were traveling, not just locally, but if you were traveling, let's say, for a couple hours for a vacation or what have you, and you were on a turnpike or an interstate or what have you, oh, my goodness, what a mess it was. And here we go again.
And again, when you look at the climate in the country, and here you've got a very popular governor in Florida, Ron DeSantis, very large and influential state. Much like Ronald Reagan when he came from California. I mean, this could get very interesting, and I think we could see parallels between what was happening back in 1976 and, or rather 1980 rather, and what's happening today.
You know, the irony is, I don't know whether Ronald Reagan would have been elected had Jimmy Carter not defeated Gerald Ford. You know, the little interesting quirks of history. But when you have an election, the winner is accountable for their policies. And what we are seeing here, as far as I'm concerned, is Jimmy Carter 2.0. And no accident. I mean, you know, that photograph from the other week, which was humorous in itself, of the masked Bidens arriving in Plains, Georgia to visit the Carters, and they wear their mask outside, and then they're inside with two couples, with a couple in both in their well into their 90s, and they're sitting on the arm of the chair with no mask on.
It's unbelievable.
You can't make this stuff up. What can I say? But it did make me think then and there that, you know, Joe Biden is going to elect the next Republican president.
But, you know, there are other issues here. And I think it's safe to say we have great calamities happening on multiple levels in the country right now, from the border to the economy. We have 8.1 million jobs available, no one willing to work. And then you have this amazing piece up on your website, which raises an issue that some of our callers have been talking about today. Is America the new Soviet Union?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a great comparison. The original comparison was made by the historian Victor Davis Hanson. And I'll just read you a couple of the things that he said. He said that in the Soviet Union, there was no escape from ideological indoctrination anywhere. The Soviets fused their press with the government. Does that ring a bell or what? The Soviet Union was run by a pampered elite, exempt from the ramifications of their own radical ideologies. They were extinguishing freedom, and they offered no apologies for it. And they doled out prizes on the basis of correct Soviet thought. And here's the one that really struck me. Soviet prosecutors and courts were weaponized according to ideology. And I point out here for myself, now this was me, not Victor Davis Hanson, saying what in the world do you think this raid on Rudy Giuliani's apartment and office were all about? 6 a.m. and there are the feds pounding on the door, getting the former mayor out of bed, blasting in there, demanding all of his, as we say in the 21st century, devices, meaning cell phone, laptop, iPads, whatever. Except, curiously, Todd, they didn't want the copies of Hunter Biden's laptop hard drive.
No, we saw the same thing happen, with Roger Stone,
yes.
Paul Manafort, and coincidentally, the mainstream media knew all about it. CNN was there just by chance.
Exactly. I mean, this is taken either individually or collectively, this is scary stuff here. This is the stuff of totalitarianism. And, I do think politically this is going to cause a huge backlash in the 2022 elections, and that's, you know, well before we get to 2024. But, man, this stuff is out of control. And the thing that really bothers me is, you know, the whole Trump issue of the deep state and everything – this was launched with just bureaucrats who were of a liberal mindset, a woke mindset, however you want to describe it, in the FBI and the CIA. And, somebody was pointing out today these videos that are coming out of the CIA that are all so politically correct, and they're talking about how they're into intersectionality it's
generalized anxiety disorder.
Exactly. And meanwhile, some bad guys over in Russia have cut off a pipeline. And you're saying to yourself, well, what in the world is the CIA and the FBI doing about it? They're worrying about intersectionality when they should be watching for American security. I mean, this is bad stuff.
Or the latest, and we're going to play this a little bit later, their latest recruitment ad features a gay Southern man who's a librarian at CIA headquarters, and his claim to fame is he created board games for the agents to come in and play. I mean, as you know, so you've got CIA agents playing Yahtzee and Monopoly while they're hacking our pipeline, for God's sakes.
Exactly. I do think there's going to be some backlash on this, hopefully from members of Congress. I mean, this is just nuts.
But, you know, Jeffrey, one of the things that caught my attention was item number 4 on that list. The Soviet educational system sought not to enlighten, but to indoctrinate young minds in proper government-approved thought. That is our public education system right now.
It is. This whole business of critical race theory. which is itself racist. And, you know, Todd, I just, as somebody who has been around the political system for a while and done my fair share of reading about the histories of political party, I find it very interesting that in all this discussion about systemic racism in the United States and all this, I'm reading my former CNN colleagues Don Lemon's book on race. There seems not to be any mention of which political party it was that was formed by slave owners, supported slavery repeatedly in its political platforms, and then spent all this time supporting segregation, writing Jim Crow laws, et cetera, and is now into identity politics, which, as I call it, is the son of segregation. Nary a mention about that. Isn't that curious?
Imagine that. Well, Jeffrey, we're going to have to leave it there. It's a terrific column you wrote, and folks, you can access that at thejeffreylord.com. Jeffrey, always good hearing from you, friend.
All right, my friend, we'll talk again.
All right,
well.
Let's do it. All right, Jeffrey Lord, ladies and gentlemen, great writer. I got to play this audio for you. Grace, have you ever heard of such a – I mean, it was bad enough you had the chick who's got the – what is it, the generalized anxiety disorder?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got – this is great. Let's play cut number 5.
Growing up gay in a small southern town, I was lucky to have a wonderful and accepting family. I always struggled with the idea that I might not be able to discuss my personal life at work. Imagine my surprise when I was taking my oath at CIA and I noticed a rainbow on then-director Brennan's lanyard, which I later learned was designed by Engel, one of the many employee resource groups here at the agency. I remember being stunned. Since then, however, I've learned that far beyond the resource groups, inclusion is a core value here. Officers from the top down work hard to ensure that every single person, whatever their gender, gender identity, race, disability, or sexual orientation, can bring their entire self to work every day.
Okay. So there's an...
Okay. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just behind on the times. But first of all, I don't understand. What's the difference between gender identity and what was the other thing?
No, there is none. It's you're male or female.
Well,
that's
these
it.
People, I'm asking, what's the difference?
There are about 78 different varieties.
Gender identity, sexual orientation. It just makes my head spin.
So this guy goes on to talk about how his claim to fame was that he decided that he was going to start purchasing board games so that the so the agents could come in to the library and they could play, like, I don't know, Yahtzee. Or Monopoly.
Well, Todd, I think that while there's breaking news going on, we should just be playing Monopoly.
That's it.
Or Bananagrams.
Yeah. They're hacking our pipelines. People are trying to get gas. They're waiting.
What do you do but laugh because it's so ridiculous? It's such a laughing.
And you got a bunch of CIA spies playing spades at CIA headquarters. Langley, come on. What's going on? Nuts. This is a look, this kind of stuff was happening in the lead up to 9/11, and that's the concern, is that we're so focused on being woke that we're asleep at the wheel, and we're going to allow something very, very bad to happen to this country.
Yes.
That is a grave concern, because you know every single person in America, every single person in the world is looking at the CIA, looking at the FBI, looking at the United States of America, and they're saying, these people are a joke. Oh, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Recently, I brought in our intelligence gaming collection to give officers unique opportunities to practice skills they need in their various roles. Instead of sitting for hours in front of a computer-based training, they can play a carefully selected game to train a specific set of skills while simultaneously building on the myriad soft skills essential to intelligence work. My favorite thing about CIA is that they encourage the out-of-the-box ideas that drive real progress. Growing up gay in a small southern town, I was lucky to have a wonderful and accepting family. I always struggled with the idea that I might not be able to discuss my personal life at work. Imagine my surprise when I was taking my oath at CIA and I noticed a rainbow on then-director Brennan's lanyard, which I later learned was designed by Engel, one of the many employee researchers.
All right, so there you go. That's the gay librarian at CIA headquarters. And Grace Baker, he has the board games. That's the games. So you can... I'm wondering what kind of games.
Oh, geez.
What kind of games would the gay librarian... And by the way, can I just say, before we jump into this, can I just say, why do we care? Why are we supposed to care? Why do they want us to care? I thought
Todd, what happened? I thought
we were supposed to ask these questions.
No, Todd, they're woke. That's the point.
I thought the point was we're not supposed to ask because that's against the law. So now we have to ask? I don't know. It's all very confusing.
It's very confusing.
Mm-hmm. So do they play, like, I don't know, Ken and Barbie? Do they have, like, Legos?
That's not a board game.
Well, I don't know. It could be. That Legos?
Legos, maybe. Building.
What about Twister?
Oh, jeez. That could get hairy real fast.
What's good? Hey, now. That's a little TMI, Grace.
Maybe Scrabble?
Could be Scrabble. Well, it depends on what words they use.
You got to be careful because you can't use a lot of words now.
Can't use a lot of words. They've got to have a list
of all the words. Banned words.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
You get negative points if you put them on the board.
And I'm just going to say, Twister, probably not a good idea.
Probably not a good idea.
We don't judge. We don't judge. But
I never liked Twister anyway. You know, the mat would always slide around. Couldn't get a good grip. I'm not very flexible.
What about Clue?
Oh.
The game of Clue. If you're
in the
CIA.
That's probably what they should be playing.
Right, exactly.
That's probably like the game that they should be playing. But
It was the cisgender butler with generalized anxiety disorder who whacked the guy in the library. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. But the thing is, Todd, can they even play games with winners?
Oh, now that is an interesting point. So you're saying that everybody needs to get a participation trophy?
Something. I mean, there's some games you play, you know, and you don't really have a winner.
I see. Because if you do have a winner, that means there are losers.
It's discrimination.
And that could be traumatizing.
It's discrimination.
Triggering, too.
Very triggering, especially. Yeah,
it's a fair point. It is a fair point. By the way, speaking of that, I'm still working through my white privilege checklist over at Walt Disney World.
Oh, you still haven't finished that?
Yeah, I've already failed it. I think I failed it on the first question.
You keep trying to retake it?
Well, yes, because the first question, are you white? Yes, fail. What am I supposed to do?
You're going to have to identify as something.
So I've got I'm working on that. So the sun is shining. I've been out. I'm trying to get a tan. So I'm trying to darken my skin color so that I might be able to pass as maybe off-white.
Oh, boy.
You think that might work?
Probably not, Todd, but you do you.
And I'm going to, again, when I was living back in New York City, people thought I was Mexican. And,
what?
Yeah, Bank of America. They honest to God, my bank statements came to me in Spanish, and the teller called me Mr. Starnes. So it...
Oh, my God.
I might go down that route. I'm just saying. I'm getting a little desperate. I got to take a break. We're running late. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. By the way, all of our new listeners in Salem, Oregon, just a reminder, if you haven't already done so, you can download my free podcast and also subscribe to my daily newsletter, great news and information for you, free of charge over on our website, toddstarnes.com. Again, that's toddstarnes.com. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And we were talking about this story yesterday, and we have some developments out of the great state of Texas. On the Newsmaker line, our good friend from WBAP, one of the best talk show hosts in America, Chris Kroc. Chris, how's it going today?
Well, Todd, thank you very much. I'm going to send you a check for that nice compliment.
Yeah, look, you do a great job there, and I know you are a beloved fixture there in the Dallas Metroplex.
Thank you, Todd. And
Chris, you were covering this story about an incident that happened in Plano. Set the stage for us. There was a guy, a lot of motorists, they got caught up in one of these big, what, Antifa protests or something, Black Lives Matter protest.
Right. This is incredible because we need to understand something here. This is happening in the breadbasket. This is the reddest of red of the four major DFW Metroplex counties. When it happens here, it's happening in every suburb and area that we live in and we thought we were safe in is not safe anymore. Plano, what happens is there's a case that some BLM and race pimp activists are crazy about. Regardless of how we feel about the case, what's happening is they're using it as an excuse to break the law, break the rules, and with impunity. So they're marching. They're marching with permission and with working with, at this point, the city of Frisco, supposedly. Facts are still coming out. Frisco borders Plano. They go off the route that they're allowed to be on in conjunction with the Frisco Police Department. They then go over the border, which is bordering with Plano, to a major intersection that's five lanes by five lanes beneath a major highway. And they are now blocking the entire traffic. It is backing up so far. In the middle of a day, I think it was on a week, it was like on a Saturday afternoon. So people like you and me are just trying to go to work or to go to school or whatever, or live our lives or go to the mall. And some idiots are blocking the road. Now, some of them are dressed like Antifa in helmets and in Kevlar vests and have radios that look like they're cops or something, but they're not. And they have gone off the route. They're blocking the traffic. People are calling the police saying it's a massive crash. Something's blocking the traffic. One guy gets out of his car and goes up to the intersection and sees that it's these Black Lives Matter clowns, these fools, these idiots, and they are blocking the intersection. So he yells at them to get out of the way, and then he looks over and he sees a Plano police officer. And he's sitting there with his arms crossed next to a squad parked on a median there.
So the cop's not doing anything? So wait, the cop is there and the cop's not doing anything?
No, these people have gone off the route. They've gone into the city of Plano, a block or two away or whatever, you know what I mean? Or it could be 100 feet off the path. They went into a lane they weren't allowed to be in. And the cop is standing there doing nothing. And the guy goes up and he's like yelling to the cop, come on, come on. The cop's like, blah, 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 blah. He's like, you know, we don't know that it's so loud and everything. And then so the guy goes over and he yells at BLM. And some lady, now here's where he makes a mistake. He swats at some lady's hand or she's recording something with a cell phone or something. That's not okay. We know that. But then what has surfaced is a still in a video that somebody appears to pull with BLM, appears to pull out a weapon of some sort and point it at the man. The man turns back and says, and starts going, and the cop comes over now, not to stop the people being illegal, but to stop the man who's saying, let me live my life. Let me live my life. Let me drive to my daughter's, whatever it is, you know, soccer game. And so he starts going back. The cops making this man the bad guy and telling him to go back. And BLM folks are moving in conjunction with the cop. They're like freaking cops. They got the cops six. The cops got their six. They're dressed like cops. And they're yelling, get out of here. Some white liberal lady is yelling, Black Lives Matter. Others are flipping off the guy. Cause they want you to sit there and be, you know, your life ruined. And the cops telling the guy to go back to his car.
So here's my problem with all this, Chris. I mean, The people breaking the law are allowed to break the law, and the police officer does nothing. You've got the innocent citizens. And look, I mean, some gal just runs up and starts shoving a camera in your face. I'd swat it away, too. I saw this video. I don't see that the guy did anything that was criminal. But now we understand that this guy, the poor motorist, is facing charges, and the BLM crowd is not.
Absolutely correct. They are breaking the law. They're illegally rallying without a permit. They are illegally blocking an intersection, which is illegal in the state of Texas. And this man it's good that you're saying your side about the, you know, maybe you should have been able to swat it out, you know, because like shoving it in my face. I'm not going to argue with that point. And so he has been charged for swatting at her, and the weapon was displayed. So the white guy who's getting out of his car saying, can you guys move out of here, he gets charged. And these folks that are these radicals that are shutting everything down and illegally marching and blocking traffic, they go with impunity. And so, yes, and the weapon, the police have lied. Now, the police chief, Ed Drain of Plano, is a BLM activist. He marched them last year. And I'm hearing more and more things about how he is now that he's on their side. And he's not on the cop's side. And let me tell you this. The cops are BS, and they're saying that they were calling for backup. BS, BS, BS. Number two, why didn't that cop get on his loudspeaker and say, you know, you know, with the sound effects, go get out of the road or you will be arrested? No, no. You and me are the ones that are wrong. And then guess what else? So the city, the mayor's a lib. The police chief is a BLM activist lib, and so they're all behind this. The cops are telling us and my colleagues on WBAP, my station here in DFW, that's all at the behest of the chief. So then I get a call last night that nearby Allen, Texas, which is still in the breadbasket of Ruby Red Collin County, the last, you know, major Republican stronghold. And oh my gosh, they're having BLM rallies there, illegally shutting down the intersections. And the chief, the mayor, and the city manager allow it with impunity. I'm then told by a second person, there's a guy who spoke at the city hall and everything on the city council, and he calls in. He says, Chris, yes, they're allowed. He goes, I don't care if they rally, but they're not allowed to do this. They're blocking our ways of getting in and out. So then I have an Allen police officer tell me that his chief has told them to stand down and that they've done this at least three times with impunity. Stand down. Don't do anything or you're next.
So
here's the deal. Ruby Red Republican suburbs are under attack. It's with impunity, and they're being told to stand down in Frisco, Plano, and Allen. We're talking the freaking breadbasket. If it can happen in our community, it can happen in yours.
Yeah, this is pretty distressing and despicable. And thank God you've got the Attorney General Ken Paxton, and he's coming out and he's demanding answers as far as, you know, what's happening here, because there is lawlessness in the streets of Plano and Allen, Texas. And that's just unacceptable. And you're right. You're right, Chris. If it can happen there, it can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something else. I have also putting pressure on, we supposedly have a conservative county judge in charge of the county, Chris Hill. We supposedly have a sheriff that is conservative, Jim Skinner. We supposedly, and by the way, so those two, I'm now putting pressure on them and saying, hold on, this is multi-jurisdictional. You have people violating the law in multi-jurisdictionally on a regular basis. Where the hell are you? Where are you? Why aren't you stopping this? Why didn't the sheriff step in? And I've been told, well, the cops, you know, don't want to be against the cops. Well, then you tell that sheriff to come out publicly because he's a politician, so he can do this, and say, get out of the way or I'm going to enforce the law. Boom. It's his county. The judge and the sheriff should be doing that. Number three, Ken Paxton is a Collin County resident when he's not in Austin. So I started putting pressure on him last night. Now, he's coming on my show tonight, to his credit, okay? And I'm proud of him for doing this. But, Ken, these are your buddies probably. Are you not putting pressure on them because they're your friends? I want you to tell me, what are you going to do? Because he's making it statewide issue publicly. I want to say, pound those people in that county. Pound those people in that town. Stomp it out now because it's being appeased. And you know, Todd, what happens when you appease it. What happens? What happens when you appease?
Oh, yeah. No, look, you're right, Chris. I mean, look, if you appease these people, they're just going to keep getting worse. And it is. It's going to keep getting worse. Hey, look, Chris, I hate to do this, but we are up against a break here. We appreciate you paying very close attention to this story and giving us the very latest intel. Keep us updated.
You got it, brother.
All right. Chris Crock from WBAP, which is a great talk radio station there in Dallas, Texas. What a mess down there. What a mess. Grace, is this true that we have Ray Richardson, the great Ray Richardson from WLOB
on the line? I can confirm, yes.
All right, well, let's, you know what, before we go to break here, I know Kyle's going to yell at me, but we got to do this. Ray Richardson on the line. Ray, what's going on?
My good friend, Tom Starnes, how are you?
Ray, it's a great day whenever you call. It is good to hear from you, friend.
Well, thank you. Well, Todd, I was out riding around, and of course, if I'm riding around, I'm listening to WLOB, which carries Todd Starnes, noon to three weekdays, and we're so proud to do it. But you had a maniac call in from Connecticut earlier, and I heard you say the following. This is why I don't like to travel north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, dear.
And even though I grew up in Florida, Todd, I just wanted to remind you that you came to Portland, Maine. We took you to Linda Bean's across from L.L. Bean, took you out to Lobster, and you told me you love it. So not all north of the Mason-Dixon line is bad.
All right, you got me on this, Ray. I will confess that not everybody north of the Mason-Dixon line is a Yahoo. So you are correct, my friend.
And I just wanted to stand up, even though I was born in the South and I'm a Southern at heart, I live in Yankee land, and I had to stand up for my state of Maine because we love Todd Starnes, and we would never want him to think we're all Yahoos.
No, no, no. Look, by the way, that great seafood place, Linda Bean's, Linda Bean from L.L. Bean. Is that right? The L.L. Bean family.
Absolutely. One of the great ladies of Maine, no doubt about that.
Well, I had a chance to meet her, just a lovely lady. And then you took us, we had some event. Was that an Irish bar we went to where we did the book signing?
Yes, exactly. Yes, absolutely. It was I had a big poster made of your book, The Deplorable's Guide to America. And Todd, it's hanging on the wall. It's about 5 feet tall. And you wrote to the most deplorable station in America.
I did. We
do that proudly, Todd. Every day.
That's brilliant. Well, Ray, we got it. We golly, you're busting my chops here, Richardson. What's going on?
Well, I just had to stand up for my peeps up here. I love my peeps up here.
No, you've got great people there, and we love all of our listeners north of the Mason-Dixon line, except for that guy in Connecticut.
Exactly, except for that guy in Connecticut.
And maybe some of those Yankees fans.
I just wanted to say hello.
Ray, it's good. It's,
well, of course he's a Yankees fan.
Ray, it's good hearing from you, and you do great work up there. WLOB, known as the Big Lobster. What a great name for a radio station. All right, Ray, God bless. Folks, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, she just a few moments ago weighed in on the rocket attacks by Hamas and other terrorist groups. And it's getting ugly right now. Grace, I was looking at some of the video you sent me and just dozens and dozens of rockets coming in. Fortunately, the Iron Dome is getting a lot of them. But it is a scary situation right now in Israel.
It's terrifying.
So Psaki is saying that basically she's saying, oh, we condemn the violence, but basically they had it coming. That's the gist of what she said. We condemn ongoing rocket attacks by Hamas and other terrorist groups. We also stand against extremism that has inflicted violence on both communities. So look, no. There's only one group here causing problems, and it's Hamas. That's it. Period. Unbelievable. These people are going to turn against our closest ally, and God help us if that happens. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Wally has been holding on for a while, hanging out with us on WDUN in Georgia. Wally, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you and your team's service. It's entertainment, but you guys get us information. We're just not getting anywhere else. And everything that's been going on, I've been following it for years. I love politics, but, you know, reading and understanding Karl Marx, his 10 planks of communism found in the manifesto, and we are so deep into it right now. It's almost they're nearing the end game in this country, and I don't think any of us ever saw it coming, or at least we thought it could never happen in America, but here it is. And I even pulled it up for reference. We are so close to losing this country. and it's not going to be pretty. And I believe that their end game is to make this happen in the next couple of years. And I believe everything we're seeing with the rise of Antifa and the BLM and these internal terrorist groups, and I believe that even the open borders, part of that is to recruit into that movement, as well as the inner cities, and then disperse social engineering and dispersing these populations throughout all the states, especially the red states. The intimidation, the fear, and back in, back in the late 2000s when the federal government was stocking up on billions of dollars of ammunition, and they were going to the EPA, they were going to the IRS, they were going and being paid for by all these federal agencies. And we've seen all this centralization of power to the federal government. Now they're using this end game. They truly are about to do a coup on us. And I really believe that. I don't think I'm a conspiracist.
Wally, you're not a conspiracist. You're a realist. And when you go back to Barack Obama, he promised to fundamentally transform America. This was not a short-term operation. This was a long-term operation. We're looking at the third term of the Obama administration, and we are seeing this fundamental transformation before our very eyes. That's what's going on here.
And I think they, part of the plan is they are very close to pulling the trigger. You know, breaking down our police is to break down the people that protect us, and they want to do that so they can instill their own into that role. I mean, we are very, very nearly. They're going to flip a switch one day, and it's all going to come down. And I don't think it's that far off.
No, it's not. It's not far off, Wally. And I hate to do this, but we're coming up on the top of the hour. So, Wally, God bless you. Thanks for the kind words, and thank you for listening to us. But to finish Wally's a comment on what Wally had to say here. Look, folks, we are watching the fundamental transformation. Nobody bothered to ask what that fundamental transformation was. What are we transforming into? Well, now we know. We're transforming into a socialist nation that will be absorbed by the communists. That's why they want people unemployed. They don't want people going to work. That's why we have 8.1 million jobs and nobody willing to work those jobs right now. So you wait and see how all this is going to play out. Folks, We'll try to pick up this conversation tomorrow. We're running out of time here. Also, we're going to follow the breaking news from Israel. We're going to keep you up to speed. We have some journalists on the story over at toddstearns.com. I would encourage you to check out our website. All right, been a great day, guys. Great calls, great conversation. Get out there. Be good, America.